Last week, a Philadelphia jury awarded a $175 million verdict in favor of a man who said the weed killer Roundup caused his cancer. On Tuesday, a jury in California ordered the weed killer's manufacturer to pay $322 million in damages in a case brought by a man with a similar story. Investigative journalist Carrie Gillum has written extensively about the weed killer glyphosate, the active ingredient in Roundup. Her book, The Monsanto Papers, is centered around Lee Johnson, who was exposed to the chemical at work, got cancer, and sued. I asked Gillum what was revolutionary about his case.
We now, you know, have had over 100,000 people in the United States sue Monsanto, which is actually now a unit of the German company Bayer AG. But Lee was the first person to take this question to court as to whether or not Roundup, in Lee's case, it was a chemical called Ranger Pro, but also made by Monsanto, also based on the active ingredient glyphosate. And he was the first person to go to trial claiming that exposure caused him to develop non-Hodgkin lymphoma. And he also claimed, very importantly, that Monsanto knew of the risks of this, but had worked very hard to hide this from the public and from regulators. And of course, he ended up winning a $289 million jury verdict in that case.
You mentioned there have been other litigants since then. But what's happened since this case? Did it make a difference in how Monsanto was viewed?
Well, it really did have an impact. The trial began in June of 2018, which was the exact same month that the Monsanto shareholders sold the company to Bayer. So Bayer was the ownership group when the verdict came down in August of 2018. When the jury award was announced, Bayer's stock price plummeted. The shareholders could see the writing on the wall. They knew this was just the first of many, many, many thousands of cases. The company has agreed to pay at least about $12 billion in settlements to plaintiffs in the United States, even though many plaintiffs are not settling and continuing to go to trial. And it also led the company to say that they would remove glyphosate products from the U.S. consumer market starting this year. They will not stop selling it to farmers, to cities. We still expect very widespread use of glyphosate. Many countries have looked to ban or limit the use of glyphosate. Mexico is one right now that is in process. The U.S., State Department, and other officials are working with Bayer to try to convince Mexico not to do that. They've threatened trade sanctions, actually, against Mexico if they do ban glyphosate. So really, there's a lot going on, you know, just around this chemical, and a lot of it was triggered by the findings that came out in the litigation.
You've written about this in both of your books. What are some of the strategies Monsanto used over the years to get around regulation and steer the story of its products, like Roundup?
There are so many tactics that the company employed, and many of them were really perfected by the tobacco industry. It's very much a playbook. The company paid out millions of dollars to set up front groups, organizations that exist to look like they are legitimate, you know, independent scientific organizations or think tanks or something that doesn't really have anything to do with the companies when they're secretly taking money from the company. And then they put out attack pieces on scientists or journalists. They work to discredit any science that comes out linking the chemical to disease. They most notoriously probably ghost wrote scientific papers to be published in the literature that said that their chemicals, that glyphosate-based herbicides, were completely safe and did not cause cancer.
Monsanto was not alone among chemical companies in this kind of manipulation of science and media. You've written about DuPont and Syngenta. What is or could the Biden administration be doing to protect the safety of Americans when it comes to the use of chemicals and pesticides? Has the government made any strides?
Every administration, and probably most strenuously during the Obama administration, our leadership has told us that they are going to clean up scientific corruption in our regulatory bodies, because scientific corruption within our Environmental Protection Agency is well known, well documented, well established. We've had whistleblowers over many, many years come forward, scientists who've worked for the EPA, who come out and say, our work is being censored. We're trying to warn the public about cancer risks and other things that are associated with these chemicals we're supposed to be regulating, including glyphosate. But we are being censored by EPA management at the behest of the chemical industry. You know, I think the problem is just so deeply entrenched in Washington, where big money, you know, very powerful companies hold great sway with our lawmakers. And, you know, we really just need a very systemic change overall. We probably need to start funding independent research to a greater degree, because right now we're relying very heavily on corporate research to tell us what is safe and what is not safe. We need more independent science, and we need more integrity in our regulatory agencies for sure.
What do you think is the most misunderstood aspect of pesticide manufacturing or use?
A lot of people say, well, you're confusing a weed killer with a pesticide. They're two different things. They're not two different things. A pesticide is an umbrella term used by regulators and for legal and regulatory purposes to encompass insecticides, herbicides, fungicides, et cetera. And the companies that make the synthetic pesticides like glyphosate or atrazine, chlorpyrifos, dicamba, 2,4-D, they commonly use these chemicals during warfare. And when we weren't really waging war anymore, like we were in Vietnam with Agent Orange, they needed a new application. And they convinced farmers and pretty much everybody else that these chemicals were needed to feed the world. And the impact of this huge increase in pesticide use over the last 30 or 40 years has just wreaked havoc on biodiversity, on our insect population, our bird population. They've impacted the health of the soil, the microorganisms in the soil that are necessary to grow nutritious crops. And they've been shown many of these pesticides to impact our health, not only causing cancer, but there's documented evidence that many of them cause neurodevelopmental harm. We just banned chlorpyrifos recently, which had been used for decades, a chemical brought to us by Dow Chemical. Reproductive health, fertility issues, all of these can be tied to pesticide exposure. And the science is out there, but the chemical companies that manufacture these and sell these are fighting very, very, very hard against that science.
Carrie Gillum is the author of the Monsanto Papers. She'll be speaking at a Women for a Healthy Environment event in Pittsburgh on November 9th. There's more at AlleghenyFront.org. You're listening to The Allegheny Front. I'm Carol Holsapple.